the formal portrait of some octogenarian despot from another century. Sky had expected him to nod off, but he seemed awake enough. He had the habit of delivering portentous utterances every few minutes, interspersed between fusillades of coughs. Khan was a reckless bloody fool, you know. Should never have been left in command after the upheaval of 15. If I'd damn well had my way, Beggar would have been frozen for the rest of the trip or thrown into space. Losing his mass would have given him just the kind of decelerational edge they were looking for in the first place. Really, sir? Not literally, you damn fool. What would a man weigh? 1/10,000,000th of the mass of one of our ships? What kind of bloody edge would that have been? Not much of one, sir. I don't damn well think so, no. The trouble with you, Titus, is you take everything I say too damn literally. Like a bloody amanuensis hanging off my every word, quill poised above parchment. I'm not Titus, sir. Titus was my father. What? For a moment Balcazar glared at him, his eyes yellow with suspicion. Oh, never mind, damn you. But this was actually one of Balcazar's better days. There had been no outright lapses into surrealism. He could be very much worse, as poetically oblique as any sphinx when the mood seized him. Perhaps there had once been a context in which even his maddest statement might have meant something, but to Sky they sounded only like premature deathbed ramblings. That was no problem of his. Balcazar seldom invited any kind of riposte when he was in soliloquy mode. If Sky had really back-answered him, or even dared to question some minute trifling detail in Balcazar's stream of consciousness, the shock of it would probably have given him multiple organ failure, even with the relaxant Rengo had administered. How utterly convenient that would have been, Sky thought. After a few minutes he said, I suppose you can tell me what this is all about now, sir. Of course, Titus, of course. And as placidly as if they were two old friends catching up on lost times over a couple of Pisco sours, the captain told him that they were heading to a conclave of senior flotilla crew. It was to be the first in many years, precipitated by the unexpected arrival of another update from Sol's system, a message from home, in other words, containing elaborate technical blueprints. It was the kind of exterior event which was still sufficient to push the flotilla towards some kind of unity, even in the midst of the Cold War. It was the same kind of gift which might have annihilated the Islamabad when Sky was very young. Even now, no one was entirely sure whether Khan had chosen to sip from that poisoned chalice, or whether the accident had just happened then out of a sense of malign cosmic caprice. Now there was a promise of another squeeze in engine efficiency, if only they would make certain trifling changes to the magnetic confinement topology. All very safe, the message said, tested endlessly back home with mock-ups of the flotilla's engines. The potential for error was really negligible, provided certain basic precautions were taken. But at the same time, another message had arrived. Don't do it, said the other message. They're trying to trick you. It hardly mattered that the other message offered no plausible reason why such trickery might be attempted. The doubt that it brought was enough to lend this conclave an entirely new frisson of tension. Eventually they were within visual range of the Palestine where the conclave would be held. A whole swarm of shuttle taxis was converging on her from the other three ships, carrying senior ship's officers. The choice of the meeting place had been arrived at in haste, but that did not mean the process had been devoid of difficulty. Yet the Palestine